Welcome to God's house. We're delighted you're here. This is the place to be. I guarantee you it's where the action is. More action than I can keep track of in my This morning, you probably didn't know it, but there were a whole ton of youth and parents down in the youth room at 9:30. And in the typical Methodist way, they were eating. They had breakfast, and they were signing up and getting ready to go and launch Youth Week, which is this entire week. So they're off and running, and the two ladies in charge told me that neither one of them slept very well last night. And I said, it's gonna be fine, I guarantee you. The only thing you have to worry about is they're going to have more energy than you have, and they will outrun you and outlast you. Some other things that are important. We had some bad news when the phone went down last week, and I told you we'd get it fixed. We did. Friday, they fixed the phones. Everything's going wonderful. Friday afternoon, the computers went out, right? So the internet went kablooey, and telephone companies are going to be here in a couple days, and they will get that set up. So if in communication with the office, Marianne's back, things are going well, and if you need to converse with the church, don't try internet, it's not going to work. VBS, going strong. They had another good Wednesday night, and the kids are excited, and the folks serving food can't believe that those that many groups of little miles can eat so much and so fast and move so fast and absolutely drive elder citizens up the wall, okay? This coming Saturday is work day. You have a slip in your stuffing in the brochure this morning, in the bulletin. We're gonna start at 8 o'clock. There's a list of five captains that have graciously assumed responsibility for various areas of the church. I talked to several people this morning. They're going to be here and help and talk about equipment needed and all those kinds of things. This is a huge plant. If you ever stopped and figured out how many square feet that are being serviced by heating and air and water and all those things. And on top of that, this building is 50 years old. And I know from personal experience that a house needs upkeep, and as we go through the years, and most certainly that's true for this structure, and we're pleased at how much we've gotten done, but we still have some left to do. Back to school will be August 11th. It'll also be VBS party and lunch and water slides and lots of things going on, so you'll take a deep breath on the 11th, and school will start, whether you're ready for it or not. These are the times that I'm glad I'm a senior citizen. Want to ask Pat Scoggy, has a message he'd like to bring to you. Pat?
Good morning. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Yes. My name is Pat Scalgi. I am the administrative chair this year, and we are planning to celebrate 50 years in this edifice in October. And I am in need of people to help. And I have a wonderful lady here by the name of Judy Rudolph, who has graciously accepted the challenge of interviewing some of those who are older than us. And then Jody has got some things, some videos that he can provide for us. And Judy, he will be talking with you. I'm going to keep this as short as possible. We have a meeting this Tuesday at 6:30 in the evening in the Friendship Classroom for those who have volunteered and those who are interested in volunteering and have the capacity and the time to help with our celebration of 50 years in this edifice. Now, that's not how old this church family is, but it's how old this edifice is. And it is in our hearts, this edifice is in our hearts. I can remember when the doors opened up when my youngest daughter was married and John hit the first chords, just tears. This building means so much to all of us. We need to celebrate our Jubilee. 6:30 Tuesday in the Friendship Classroom, and thank you very, very much. Have a blessed week.
Please stand and let us affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Sing our opening hymn, Lift High the Cross, 159.
Thank you.
proclaim Christ's wonderful presence to us, take a little time and meet those people sitting around you and welcome them and grant them a wonderful, glorious Sunday.
Good morning. Today, our Bible verse comes from Colossians. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 is the one that we're going to talk about today. It says, "For by God, all things were created in the heavens and on earth, things that are visible, things we can see, and things that are invisible." Okay? The Bible verse tells us that God made all things, and we give thanks for all the things that we can see, like moms and dads, churches, schools, homes, and all the beauty of the world, the rivers, the lakes, the mountains, the sun, the stars, the sky. But we don't often think about the things that are invisible, that are so important to our lives. Think about the way our bodies are so perfectly made by God. And there are many invisible things that occur within our bodies that we can't see, but they're very important. Think about the electrical signals carried to and from your brain that move your hands and arms and legs for walking and talking and seeing. And the tiny blood vessels that travel through your body that carry oxygen. And the tiny bones inside your ear that allow you to hear. And the cells in your eyes that allow you to see. And think about the muscles under your skin, which allow you to smile. Let me see your smile. There it is.
Ah! Or frown.
There are many invisible things that occur within our bodies, but also all around the world. And let us remember to give thanks for the things that we can see and the things we cannot see. And I've got here a book here that also talks about the blessings that God gives us, the things we can see. This is called Count Your Blessings, and it's based on an old hymn that we sing at the nursing home service on Wednesdays. It's called Count Your Blessings. It goes like this. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And then it goes on to name them. 1, 2 big hugs for you from Mom and Grandma and your doggie. 3, 4 a winning score. Playing a game with your friends is a blessing. 5, 6 colors to mix, painting. And the colors of the rainbow that God gives us. 7, 8 pink roller skates. 9, 10 a toothless grin. Daniel lost a tooth this week. And then he goes back to sing the song again. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And we'll stop there, but let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for creating all the things we can see and all the things we cannot see. Amen.
As good stewards of God's bountiful blessings that are poured on us day after day, we now take time, pause, and return some of those gifts for the benefit of God's kingdom.
There we go. And we have a first suggestion. 145. Let's go ahead and sing all three verses of this one as well.
Once again.
It is now time for our prayers and concerns and our joys. We have any in particular this morning? I checked the list of that you have in your bulletins, and I know the new people that need our prayers in particular, unless you know someone. Go ahead. Jaleesa is doing better. Okay, that's good news. Fantastic. Out of the hospital. Like to have that good news. You just got through singing. If you believe what you sang, you believe that there's a balm. There's a balm in Gilead. There's a balm in your heart. And likewise, you said, it's important to pass it on. Let us pray. We bring your prayers, our prayers for your kingdom. We come to you now with our thoughts and prayers and concerns, each in our own words and in our own way.
We're thankful, O God, that our hearts lift our concerns to you. We're thankful for those who share the being out of the hospital, the signs of feeling better. And we give thanks. We hold our pastor and his family as they are enjoying a time away to be refreshed, to be with family, renew them and bring them safely back to us. And as we work within the kingdom to repair and to care for this place of worship, renew us, strengthen us, and guide us for the work we do, and the work that we do in your name and for your purpose. You teach us, O God, that you are available always in prayer, and you teach us as we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning can be found in the book of Colossians in the New Testament on page 188. It's chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For him, in all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became his servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to the saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
A high school student became attracted to a girl in his math class. Doesn't sound like new news, but his father was a little curious and a little more interested, and so he asked him, what about her was so appealing? What appealed to him most? He answered, her mom does. She's a knockout. He explained that, as he figured it, given a few years, his classmate would grow into the lovely likeness of her mother. His father sometimes can be this way. But son, what if she grows up to look like her dad? Well, he hadn't considered that. He had considered that the daughter would be more or less the incarnate image of her mother. You know, that's what Paul says about Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Paul writes of his incarnation. Jesus is the closest thing we have to a photograph of what God would look like. So it is that when we look in the scriptures and see what Jesus was like in his earthly ministry, his grace for sinners, his joy in the presence of children, what we're doing for the children looks like it'd be very interesting, following along, helping the children to get involved. We know that there is such a healing compassion for those who are ill. We make sure that we remember those who are in the hospital or those who have been to see the doctor and who are under care. Jesus had such an abiding love, a depth of love for the lonely, those who were left out or left behind. We have programs in the church that sort of respond to that because it's so important. We feel at times the impatience that Jesus has. There are some of us who might have to mind what we do and how we act, that we're not like the Pharisees who Jesus is so critical of. Jesus has a tendency to offer fresh start, second chances, thankfully for us, that we have a chance to go better, to be better, to do what God would have us do, as Jesus lets us know. It's in all these ways and countless others that we are given a glimpse of the very heart and mind of the Creator. He is the image of the invisible God. Paul is responding to news that he had heard from the church at Colossae. Some of it was not real good news. He knew that they were following some dangerous thinking. That there were those who were in that church that were a challenge to what the church should be about. And so Paul was raising the issue of how they would follow and hold fast to what Jesus was teaching about God. Paul was responding to a message that had come from Epaphras, the preacher there at that church. The letter was also to be seen at Laodicea, which was just a little bit down toward the opening of the Lycus River into the ocean. Laodicea and Hierapolis were both towns there on the river, and they were within vision of each other. If you were in Laodicea, you could look up kind of across the river, and there was Hierapolis. Hierapolis could look down river, kind of across river at Laodicea. But Colossae was 12 miles or so upriver, closer to where the meander joined in or crossed the Lycus. Now, that area was was known for the earthquakes that were there. And by the time of Paul's death, Colossae had been destroyed totally by the earthquake. And today, you can't even see where Colossae had been. Everything is just totally wiped out. Paul was writing a letter to encourage the church to be faithful, to know what God had in mind for them. Paul gave countless glimpses of the very heart and mind of the Creator. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is a glue that binds all things together. Jesus is a glue that sort of fits and holds our lives steady, holds our lives in faith, holds us to be steadfast in faith. Think about the ones who were called to be disciples. They were fishermen. Do you like fish? I like to go fishing. He called at least one, maybe two tax collectors. They were not popular people at all. They still aren't. if you're a tax agent, I'm sorry. There were young who were called, and then there were the old. So that there was a good measure of folks who followed Jesus. The 12 especially. Look around this morning, as you went around and greeted folks and bid them welcome again, you can see the variety that we have here. But in Colossae, there had been something very important going on. And Paul was encouraging and being helpful in the midst of an area of some real serious challenges to the church. We know it as by the name of do what?
Gnosticism.
Yeah, Gnosticism. All of a sudden, I drew a blank. That's why I have my wife in the congregation. She's heard this before, and she knows. She heard it this morning at the early service. She knows what I'm trying to think about. Gnosticism is a philosophy that. It takes a long time for it to take hold, but it really does challenge the Christian faith. And Paul saw it as a real danger to the church. It's a philosophy that denies God as creator. It denies Jesus as a living person, as a living Son of God. If they really talked about him, it was as though he was just a figment. When he walked, he left no footprints. You can see why that would be a challenge to the Christian faith. And Paul was being very strong in his opposition to the Gnostic thought. It's G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic, if you haven't looked at that. Paul's message reminded us that God's personality is centered in Jesus. And there is a manifestation of the Son of God. In that manifestation, there is an image that's held up. That's the image of the invisible God. In Jesus, there is the incarnation, the implication of the incarnate God. We understand, and Paul wrote, that God's power is centered in Jesus. He created the universe. He lays claim to the universe. In him there is the control of the universe. So that Jesus spells out and exemplifies how God's work in the universe is ongoing and powerful. God originated life, overcame death in Jesus. There is a victory over suffering. God is the creator. And one of the things that Gnosticism would have you believe, have you think, would be that God is so perfect, so pure, that God cannot touch anything that's mechanical or anything that's earthly. God can't touch that, because God would be contaminated by that touch. You can understand with that why Paul thought that was a dangerous thought, a thought that would not work for the church. Gnosticism had developed a whole system of thoughts that spread out to the point that away from God and for the creation was a vast expanse. God could not touch and be touched by that expanse. Paul said, that's not the way to be. That's not the way God is, and that's not how Jesus is. Paul challenged the church to be faithful. We're challenged to be faithful to God through Christ. as he lets us, as he tells us, as he guides us, as he gives us the word of God's love, of God's grace, of God's purpose, and the very power of God in our lives, that we would overcome the strange thinking that had challenged the church in Colossae. Paul said, that's not what the church is, and we will not have it. Paul calls us to be a faithful church, to love God, to love the God whose Son brings us new life, whose Son holds us steadfast in our walk of faith. We give thanks to God for that faithfulness, that guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a hymn, 536, Precious Name. And as we are here, we are invited with this invitation to claim our faith in Christ, to hold fast to Christ, to reclaim and renew that faith, or to join this congregation, place your faith alongside others as we all walk together the trail of, and the path of faith. Let us stand as we would sing, and if there are those who would make this your home, you're invited to come forward. God bless you. We have enjoyed being here. I'll speak for my wife on that one. We've enjoyed being with you. God bless you. God send you forth in His mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.